All right, we're good.
Okay, Steph, if you will.
Ms. Angel?
Yes.
Mr. Cornwell?
Present.
Mr. French?
Here.
Mrs. James?
Here.
Mr. McDonald?
Present.
Mr. Moore?
Here.
Mrs. Mulford?
Here.
Kevin?
Here.
Mr. Thacker?
Here. Okay, we need the treasurer's report, Steph.
Okay, I'm gonna share my screen so you can see some of these numbers coming on.
Nice.
Agenda is very short, but again, it has in 4.5 minutes, so I'll go over that here in a minute. Matthew for approval for the minutes of the last meeting, my reports for the month of April and the forecast. And to adjust, I do have an addendum that I wasn't able to email out. I will email that out later, but we do have it here. Adjust the estimated receipts and appropriations due to the award of the additional funds. Aspire was awarded carryover from last year, so we just now got notified of that. You'll see that there.
Jamie, we cannot hear her.
Yeah, I can't hear anything either.
Pat, can you hear her? I can't hear a thing. I can hear you.
I can't hear her. I can't hear anything.
I don't have a clue what she's saying.
Yeah, I can't hear her either.
I could at first, but I can't now.
Yeah, me too. Jamie, if you can hear Pat or I, we cannot hear a word that's going on in the meeting.
Okay. Yeah, it's Stephanie.
I can hear everybody but Stephanie.
You didn't turn on.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I heard her originally, but she just stopped.
I can hear you now, Steph.
Yeah, I can hear her too.
Okay. See, you have to mute me. Can they hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. So if you go to the bottom of our If you go to the bottom of the forecast, you will see that our cash balance is a little over $4 million and we have 123 days of operating cash. Can you still hear me, Thacker?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go over the forecast presentation if I pull it up here. Okay. This is the new forecast that will be submitted at the end of this month. I'll go over this quickly because it's annoying with that background. You all have this in your agenda. I have estimated that property taxes will increase 3% every single year. I have flat funded our state funding. I have decreased casino revenue because all the casinos are closed, so we will be getting less revenue from that. The salaries, I have done a step increase next year, plus 2%. That's what we're kind of looking at.
And then after that, I've done a 1% each year just because we're going to negotiate that. And I don't have those numbers yet. Insurance, I did a 25% increase for next year just because I anticipate that we could still get another year of a higher renewal. But then after that, hopefully with the things that we're going to put into play, it'll come down. So I've increased that 10% each year after that. And then our supplies, our purchase services, and all of that, I've just interchanged those. We usually spend about $2 million every year in those. So those are interchangeable, and I'll just leave it at that. I'm sorry. I'll try to look, rush through this. You can see right here. Crazy. Hold on just a second. Let me share this. Okay, it's not going to share. Here we go. I'm going to skip.
Yeah, I can see it now.
Yeah, I see I see final thoughts.
I'll just wrap it up. Like the final thoughts, I have a positive cash balance every single year. This year I'm predicting a $4.4 million cash balance in general. We are forecasting a positive cash balance every single year. Again, we don't know what the biennium budget will be like at all due to the pandemic. So I have been very conservative on that. We don't know what our insurance renewal rate again will be. And we are currently negotiating with both unions. I always try to end with a quote. I thought this one was kind of fitting right now. When everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. So keep that in mind with everything that every school district is dealing with. I think we're doing a pretty good job at you know, implementing things that we've never had to do before. So if anyone has any questions on the forecast, I will answer those. Be glad to answer those. If not, yeah, I will. I will do that, yes. Are there any questions?
If no questions, I need a motion.
So moved.
So moved.
Okay. Mr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Angel?
Yes.
Mr. French?
Yes.
Mrs. James?
Yes.
Mr. McDonald?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mrs. Mulford?
Yes.
Mrs. Pittman?
Yes.
Mr. Thacker?
Yes.
Okay.
That gets us to you, Mr. Nash.
Can you hear me all right, Pat?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Right here.
Okay, Mike. I think we're going to try this in the boardroom next time to see if we can help the sound out a little bit better.
I'll tell you what, if you don't have the speaker going, if we had this in front of us,
I think we're okay.
We'll be okay.
I think it's that.
I think it's the speakers too.
It's Stephanie's booming voice.
I know.
I'm going to unplug it for a minute. Does that sound better to you guys at home?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's really.
There's no feedback at all on my end.
No feedback on your end?
The only one that has feedback is Stephanie.
Okay. She's been complimented.
You sound fine.
Okay. Well, we'll get it figured out.
Okay. Yeah, you
need those daggone no kill candy bars is what it is.
Is she still selling those?
she give them away tonight, Mike.
Yeah, tell Brian to buy me five. Yeah.
All right, we'll go ahead and start on the consent agenda. There is one little typo in B that should have said adult center student handbook. Marcella caught that actually late last night, so apologize for that. On the adult center side of the house, want to recommend the board on the second reading to adopt and recommend the adult center employee handbook for 2020-2021. Also, this is going to be our first reading on the handbook. Would like to recommend the board the adult center student handbook for 2021. We have a recommendation for some WIOA programs dealing with paid work experiences. We do this every summer. I'd like to make those recommendations to the board. Those students work 24 hours, and it's between 6 and 12 weeks. Great program, works really, really well for us in Jackson County and South Central as well. I'm on the next page. I'd like to recommend the board the following personnel. Employment of certificated personnel. If you look at enclosure 5, that'll have all of our certificated personnel listed there for 2021. Also would like to recommend the board B, employment of non-certificated personnel. You'll see the list there. We'll probably, Mike, do you need to have that pulled out? Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
Let's go ahead and pull out B, guys.
Can we see who that is?
Because Tamara French is listed on there.
Yeah, I lost you there. I had to reconnect. Sorry about that.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Thacker, you may just pull her out by herself.
Yeah, let's just pull her out, and we'll just do it by herself.
So let's go ahead and recommend the rest of the non-certificated personnel that are listed there, minus Ms. French. C is administrative contracts for 2021. We have two administrators there, Don Armstrong and James Collins. D, I'd like to recommend the board our substitute teachers for next school year. That's enclosure number 6. You can look at those. I would like to recommend non-certificated subs for 2021. That's enclosure 7. Then we have F for childcare clinic agreements. I would like to recommend the board the following agreements with all of our business partners that we have in all three counties. On the next page, you'll see an authorization and resolution for emergency closing schools. This is what Mr. Lewis always put into the board packets. I actually like this. This kind of shows the board basically what we've missed. You'll notice that we were really in good shape until March 16th. And we basically had a couple school closings and some 2-hour delays. And then we hit rock bottom come March the 16th. We were almost 12 and a half days to the good. And the COVID-19 pandemic took place. You'll see the deduct there. We basically lost 31 and a half days of 625 of instruction face-to-face. Of course, those hours are not mandated to be made up. We used our blizzard bag options, and we sent a lot of packets home to our kids over those 30 days. So I'd like to recommend the board to approve that resolution. On the next page, page 10, you'll see our lunch program for 2021. I'd like to recommend the board the permission granted to participate in state and federal school lunch programs for next school year. And then we have a list of equipment that we want to remove. Kind of a neat project we did right before the pandemic hit. We're going through our inventory to get rid of a lot of old stuff, a lot of old broken stuff. So we want to get rid of that. So I'd like to recommend the board permission granted to remove those items. We'll probably sell those probably at auction. And if they don't sell at auction, we'll basically take them to the dumpster. And that is all I have.
Okay, I need a motion.
No move.
Second.
Ms. Angel?
Yes.
Mr. McDonald?
Yes.
Mr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. French?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Moore? Yes. Mrs. Pittman?
Yes.
Mr. Thacker?
Yes.
Okay, I want to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and recommend to the board the employment of a non-certificated personnel for 2020-2021, and that's Tamara French, our social worker technician, for a 2-year contract.
I need a motion.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Ms. Angel?
Yes.
Mr. French?
Abstain.
Ms. James?
Yes.
Mr. McDonald?
Yes.
Mrs. Mulford?
Yes.
Mr.
Zacher?
Yes.
Okay, on the regular agenda, got a couple things here. It's kind of interesting. Stephanie and I was, we've been on a lot of Zoom meetings. It seems like just about a couple a day for the last several weeks. This was a recommendation by the state auditor. So it's pretty much required. They recommended to us to have the board approve this. This is basically where we're compensating our wages during the pandemic. We have a lot of people working from home. We have a lot of people working alternative schedules. So they recommended to us to get that board approved for their audit purposes. The first one for authorizations and resolutions, I want to recommend the board the compensation of wages during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I need a motion.
So moved.
McDonald?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Mr. Angel?
Yes.
Mr. Cornell?
Yes.
Mr. French?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Albert?
Yes.
Mr.
Thacker? Yes.
Okay, on the next page, page 12, this is, I want to recommend the board the following resolution. We really did a lot of research on this, worked with legal on this quite a bit. Work with all of our deans and administration. I want to recommend the board that this school year that we elect not to conduct evaluations for teachers, administrators, and support staff. Really hard for us to complete those evaluations from March 16th through the end of the school year. A couple things I want you guys to be aware of. Buckeye Hills supersedes, goes above and beyond the evaluation processes for our staff with our teachers. And to be honest with you, we're reviewing that right now through negotiations. We got to streamline that down a little bit. We pretty much conduct evaluations, 2 to 3 full evaluations on staff all year long. And we don't need to do that on people with continuing contracts that are in good standing order. That's ridiculous. Beth, you know exactly what I'm talking about from a teacher's perspective. Brian, your wife will know what I'm talking about too. If she had to have full evaluations conducted on her multiple times throughout the school year. So it was impossible for us to finish those out. I'll tell you what, I probably spent more time on this dealing with OD and our legal than I have probably anything I've had to so far. But basically what we're doing is we're going to hold our staff, we're going to hold them kind of like harmless. Basically what we'll do is we'll do full evaluations next year. If they would go on to continuing contracts, we're not going to default them on that. That's not their fault. It would be different if we had somebody that we were going to non-renew in those circumstances, but we reviewed each one of our staff and we'll feel really comfortable with going ahead and waiving these for this school year. So I would like to recommend that to the board.
I need a motion.
So moved.
Mr. French?
Yes.
Mr. Angel? Mr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mrs. Jane?
Yes.
Mr. McDonald?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Thacker?
Yes.
Okay, the following is the MOU that covers the recommendation to waive the waivers this year. This was developed by the board's legal team to develop an MOU between management and also our teachers union.
A motion, please.
So moved.
Angel?
Yes.
Mr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. French?
Yes.
James?
McDonald? Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Walford?
Yes.
Pittman?
Yes.
Mr. Thacker?
Yes.
Okay, guys, on items for discussion, we have A through D. I would like to go ahead and add one more on extended days. I want to talk a little bit about that with you guys to kind of see where you're at from your home schools and also with your advice and some recommendations. I'm not going to recommend anything tonight, but we'll probably make some recommendations at the June board meeting. A is move August board meeting. I would like to recommend to the board that we move that to August the 5th. The reason for that is we're going to have a lot of things to put in motion with this pandemic in the fall. And we're going to need a little extra time to be able to do that. Also, our Ohio School Boards Association, where we've been working on our policies, we'll do our first reading in June, and we want to do our second reading on August the 5th. It does start. A couple of weeks later, we'll have our board policies all in place. So when the staff come back, we can get them up to par on all those policies and all those changes. I had Marcella check with all your guys' homeschools. No one has a board meeting on the 5th. That's good. And I'm thinking we just do it at the same time at 7:30. Hopefully it'll be a short meeting. It won't be real lengthy. Basically, we'll be going over the policy, second readings, and then anything the pandemic, COVID-19 puts on our plate going into the fall. What's everybody's thoughts on that? Anybody have a big issue with the 5th?
No, I'm fine with it.
I hear that.
I'm good.
Now, guys, what we'll do is we will not have our board meeting. You know how we always have the joint board meeting with the ESC? We won't have our board meeting that night. We'll just enjoy the festivities of the ESC meeting. Does that kind of make sense? If that's not canceled, I mean, that could be canceled by then. Okay. Let's talk about high school certificate ceremony. We're planning on having a celebration ceremony next Thursday. It'll start at 6:30. It'll be located here at Buckeye Hills. It'll be what we call a drive-through graduation. Kind of interesting. We had to work a lot with the local health department director over the last several weeks on getting our adult education plan put in place so we could open adult education back up underneath the COVID-19 guidelines. So by working with Tyler very closely, it was easy for us to start putting together our plans once we approved them for our celebration ceremony. We were able to determine if we do this in the correct manner, we'll be able to give our kids an opportunity that hopefully we'll at least give them a little bit of closure going out of high school, and we really want to have a celebration for them. The way it's going to look, basically, is we all know here outside the double doors, we kind of have like a front porch arena. I call it the front porch. We're going to set up a stage outside there. The kids are going to come in with their parents, grandparents. They're allowed to have one car and one car only. They'll come in, they'll get into like a parade line. They'll be given a number. And basically, there will be no rhyme or reason on order. So they'll come in and get in line. And then when they get in line, we'll begin our, at 6:30, we'll begin our celebration ceremony. We'll bring them down basically from the adult ed parking lot, past the green building, and they'll come down to the red building. The student will be able to get out of the car. They'll have a mask on when they get out of the car. One family member can get out of the car as well with them. They'll get out. We're going to probably get out about 10, 12 kids at a time. They'll be about 20 feet apart. And that's how we'll start the parade line as they come in. They'll walk across the stage. I would like to have one board member on the stage, myself and the student. We're going to be socially distanced apart. Professional photographer coming in. They'll be able to take a photo. Their loved one can take a photo. There will be a staging area for them to take a photo. They'll walk off the stage, and they'll get into their car, and they'll leave. We're going to line the driveway up from the green building all the way down in front of what I call the half circle out here when you guys walked across the parking lot. There will be tents, like when you go to a tailgate. There will be tents spread out. We're allowed to have our teachers here with masks on. They'll be assigned to a tent, and they'll be 6 feet apart, And then we're going to do the same thing for our board members, whichever board members would like to come that night. And you'll be basically right out in front of the stage where the cars will go by. The purpose of this is our staff can make signs. They can wave with the kids. The kids are not allowed to get out of their cars and get photos with the staff. Our staff can't socialize either. We'll take our staff's temperatures before they come, or before it starts, when they get here. They're not allowed to have any COVID-19 symptoms. They can't be exposed to COVID-19.
If they have a temperature, they'll be required to leave. Same thing with the families. If they have any COVID-19 or symptoms, they'll be required to not participate as well. It was kind of interesting for me because we've been on Zoom meetings, like I said, just about daily, sometimes 2-3 times a day. And what I've noticed real fast in this, all 88 counties are doing things different. And your local health directors really giving their own interpretations of some things. For us, Tyler's been great to work with. And really, if we hadn't put together our adult ed plan, I don't know if we would have been able to do our ceremony the way we're doing it, because we kind of learned a lot through that process. So that's kind of the plan of action. I wanted to get your guys' input, see how many of you guys wanted to come. I'm fine with rotating you guys on the stage. We'll have to figure out how we want to do that, how many people want to participate in that. But it's going to be underneath the front porch. We'll have less than 10 people. And that's the number we have to stay with underneath the front porch.
We can stay in here.
Well, you guys are going to have – I'm going to have you guys have your own tents. So, and, you know, we're looking to process – I mean, we have 200 kids, and we're going to do it in one night. However, we're doing it through a parade style where there will be some rhyme and reason to this. I mean, we're not going to have one kid get out of the car, get in the car, and have the other kid get out of the car. They're going to get out of the car, and they're going to be standing in social distancing squares about 20 feet apart as they get into the – we're only going to get about 10 or 12 kids out at a time. So think about that for a minute. If Brian's one of those kids, the next kid's over here in the middle table, then the next one's at the end table. Does that make sense? As they come across the stage. It's pretty, yeah. But they're spread apart. Yeah, they're spread apart. That's exactly right. We're going to do it next Thursday at 6:30. My goal, we're streamlining the itinerary way down. We'll do the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance. Oak Hill's going to do that for us. It's recorded. And then I'm going to do the welcome. We're going to have our student president. Her name's Maddie Turner. She's going to do a keynote real quick, and then we're starting the ceremony. Our goal is to have it done in about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And we're going to practice it. Our administration's practicing in our cars early next week to see how it works. So I'm making my little great niece come with me. So she's going to be the student, and I'm going to be the parent getting out, take a little photo. So we're going to practice that next week to make sure we have it down. I tell people this all the time. Is it going to go perfect? No. But you know what? These kids deserve something. And that's kind of where I've kind of put my heels in the sand. They deserve something. And I think what we've done is we've looked at the COVID-19 requirements. We've looked at the governor's requirements, high department requirements. We feel comfortable with the way our campus is set up to be able to do that. I know some schools are doing it like 3 days. They're getting people out of their cars. They're bringing them into the gymnasium. They're doing their ceremony in the gymnasium. They're taking them out of the gymnasium. They got to clean up the gymnasium for the next family comes in. We don't have to do any of that because of the setting we have inside, and we'll be able to set it up. And once again, our Department of Health director, his word, Jamie, I love it. You got the green light, move forward on it. So that was 10% chance of rain. Yes, sorry, look. We do have an alternative day. Our alternative day is on Saturday, and it'll be at 2:30, just in case we have a storm come through. Now, guys, if it's just misting rain, sprinkle, we're having it. The only way we're going to cancel is if it's thunderstorming. Because, I mean, we're underneath the front porch, so we have everything covered up underneath there. What do you guys think about it?
Mr. Nash, didn't you say that Mrs. Lewis would be giving the certificates out?
Yeah, we're developing a process. Miss Lewis is going to give the passport to the student, and she'll probably end up changing gloves on every passport.
I got a suggestion. I don't know if you want to do this, and she won't have to do that, but it's just an idea. But she could set the passport there, and then whoever's with the student could take it up and present it to them, which we presented our parents or whoever, they did that in ours, but that would keep her from having to keep changing gloves, and she could set it there, and then maybe whoever's with the student could give it to them. I don't know. That's just an idea.
Yeah, we'll definitely take a look at it. What it comes down to is just pure logistics. How quick can we get people moving is what it's going to really kind of come down to. But, yeah, I'll let the team know that, Pat. Absolutely.
Okay. And one other thing, are you going to have the resource officer there?
Our school resource officer is going to be at the main where you pull into the main campus. He will actually be giving them an instruction card and making sure they understand they have to stay in their car. And there will be some instructions on the back of the card. The card will actually be assigned, will go on their windshield underneath their windshield wiper. They won't even touch the card. So when the card, it's like a parade line. When it comes around, we'll have a staff member take the card off and walk it over to Ellen McCabe. She'll be reading the name to introduce the kid. And then they'll walk up to the stage. The actual board member, myself, will be located on the stage. The student will be in the middle. They'll actually pick their passport off of a table is what they'll end up doing. They'll pick it up off of a table that we put on, that Lisa Lewis will be putting on there. We're working on the details of how that's going to look.
How are we assuring these students all know that we're doing
so? We
don't miss anybody. We don't have internet or something.
We actually send out mail. We send out letters through the mail. And then also we will post it on Facebook tomorrow as a reminder. One thing I'm learning down here is social media on phones. Facebook's the best communicator there probably is down here. And then part two of that is, I also kind of old school in this. I wanted them to have a keepsake. So we did a really nice invite to the senior. So their family will have a nice keepsake that will come in the mail. Those actually were sent out last week. Yeah, that's a good idea, Lynn. I can talk to, I'll call Matt tomorrow and see if he can get us a couple more deputies here. We can probably see if University of Rio Grande or Rio Grande could help us out with that. The cool part is we have an OPATA program here with like 60 people that teach it. So we'll be able to pull in some more deputies if we need to. Thank you, though. That's a good idea. Yeah, you are right. You're incorrect about that. I never thought about them getting in the same car together. Yeah, we have to limit the cars just because we're doing it in one night. I mean, it's kind of fun. We all kind of joked about it a little bit, but some of us have huge families. I mean, my family would probably bring it'd look like a convoy coming in here, man. So we felt like we had to at least make it one per car, just for logistics purposes. Any other questions, concerns? What do you guys think? You guys, do you like it?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I mean, it was interesting because I got upset kind of early in the game when ODE put their guidelines out. Well, number one, that wasn't ODE's responsibilities to do that. We're a local controlled state. That's the school board's decision. And the way I looked at it was the governor puts out the COVID-19 guidelines. Those are the requirements. As a school district, as long as we can comply, it's a local controlled state decision. It's a local school board decision. So I kind of got rubbed wrong real quick out of the gate. And then all of a sudden it started changing multiple times. And then the governor come out and was like, well, I never said you couldn't do that. And then that just kind of tore through the communities like crazy. I feel bad for you guys. I know a lot of you guys were probably in situations that was probably it wasn't going to be a win-win for you guys regardless. And I kind of blame the folks up in Columbus for creating that atmosphere. So I applaud you guys for putting that weight on your shoulders. If anything changes, I'll let you guys know. I do want to get one more. I do want to get some input from you guys on this. We're not planning on inviting anybody besides our school board and our parents and their students and our staff. Usually we'll have our principals, our superintendents. We'll have a whole host of people we'll invite. Due to the pandemic and due to all the how we can put people in tents and keep people apart, that's almost impossible to do. So what do you Okay. I just want to make sure. I'm actually going to call each superintendent myself and let them know. Same thing for us. We're not sending anybody to anybody's ceremony this year for the same reasons. It's more out of respect, so we don't have to worry about accounting for us in the logistics nightmare of the COVID-19. Does that kind of make sense? But I wanted to make sure everybody was cool with that from a school board perspective. And if you guys thought your superintendents would be all right with that too.
Yeah, I don't think we'll have any trouble.
Good deal. So let's talk about budget cuts. This has been very, very interesting. And I know you guys have been hammered with all this since last Tuesday, about 2:05. The governor made an announcement that he was cutting schools' budgets, post-secondary's budgets, and another $55 million in line items in the education arena as well. Stephanie called me right out of the gate. I really thought that I was going to lose it from a heart attack, and they were going to code her as COVID-19. But she simmered down and got calm again. For JVSDs in Ohio, we have what's called a maintenance of effort. And that's an agreement between the state of Ohio and the federal government, Department of Education. What that is basically is it's an agreement that the state of Ohio will fund JVSDs at a certain level, and they'll never drop below that level. And that's the agreement with the feds, with the federal dollars and the Perkins dollars and all those connections. In 2008, during the Great Recession, JVSDs, that maintenance of effort, kept them off the chopping block of cuts. And so that's going to happen right now as we speak for this fiscal year. And I'm talking about May and June. Now, there's projections about what that's going to look like next year. And what we're being told is this maintenance of effort is not going anywhere. JVSD should not take a cut on this particular line item. Now, a lot of you are probably going, why, you know, people are going to ask you guys, well how's that fair? A couple of things I want people to also understand. All K through 12 systems are getting federal stimulus dollars, about $475 million this year. JVSDs are exempt from that. We do not qualify for those dollars. Are you guys with me? So that's another reason why they're leaving us alone, because we're exempt from those federal stimulus dollars on the high school side only. So what they're looking at, they're saying, all right, and the reason we are is because they're taking the federal stimulus dollars and they're running them through what's called Title I. That's how the feds are paying the state to process the federal stimulus dollars. We don't get Title I dollars, JVSDs, so we're not in that formula. So there's no way for them to distribute federal stimulus dollars to the high schools. That makes sense to everyone? So those are two reasons why we're being left alone. Number one, we have a maintenance of effort. And number two, we do not qualify for federal stimulus dollars. Does that make sense? That's good news. Really, that's probably the best news we've heard since since the career tech waste got taken out of the formula. And then, of course, this past June, we got frozen. I think that has a lot to do with it as well. I think they know they have JVSDs frozen on the growth side of the house. Keep in mind the K through 12 systems, they didn't freeze their growth side. Only the JVSDs received that freeze as well. So that is the biggest reason why we're going to probably make it through. Well, I know that's why we're making it through the May-June cuts. I will not believe it until I see it for next year, but we feel pretty confident through Aaron Rausch, who's over the finances for the State Department of Education. He's telling us that the maintenance of efforts is not going to go away. It'll stay in place. Keep in mind, guys, that's also tied to special education on the federal side. That's why special ed didn't receive cuts. So there's a lot of reasons why that MOU's or that MOE's put in place. Stephanie and I feel pretty confident right now that we're going to be able to move our plan forward on what we're negotiating with both unions right now. It's very conservative. However, we do believe it's fair to our collective bargaining unit members. as we move that forward. We negotiated, it's kind of interesting, we brought both associations in and we had a discussion about healthcare and about wages. And honestly, if we didn't have to clean up our contract language, we could have had them put that to a vote in about 2 hours, which is kind of unheard of when you're dealing with collective bargaining. So we're really, really happy with where negotiations are at right now. We will probably finish up the teachers, hopefully early next week. And then we're going to, hopefully they'll put it to a vote and we'll be able to bring that to our next board meeting. And then the same thing with our support staff. Once again, Stephanie and I have done some, we've done a lot of projections and a lot of planning. If we didn't have the MOE, we would probably be very conservative. We're already conservative, number one, but we'd even be more conservative. That would have probably affected us like where we would have locked everything up. But we don't have to do that. And we're blessed that we don't have to do that as we move forward into next year. One thing we are going to do in the contract, we're doing a 3-year contract, but we're only doing the wage piece this year. We'll do a wage opener year 2 and year 3. And that'll be based off of what the state tells us on balancing the budget. And is the economy going to be able to bounce one way or the other? Does that kind of make sense to everyone? Right now, we can't put anything on the table for year 2 in terms of contract when it comes to wages. That's very dangerous to be able to do that. And I know Stephanie wouldn't feel comfortable with that, and I wouldn't feel comfortable with that either. So we're going to open up those wages year 2 and year 3. Negotiations on the language is kind of interesting right now. If you ever get an opportunity to look at the language in both contracts, kind of like the policies here of the past. It's kind of like a hodgepodge of language put into a book. There's MOUs in there that are from 1992. If you know anything about the MOU rule, which I know you guys have all negotiated contracts, an MOU expires at the end of the contract. And if you're going to want to keep the language, and you put it in the contract. If you don't, it dies on the vine. They've kept every MOU here in the back of that contract. Wow, that's all I can say. So we're getting all that cleaned up. It's going to be interesting how we're doing this, what we're putting together. You know, I don't want to curse us, but I think we're putting a very fair contract together that benefits just not the Board of Education, but benefits our teachers and benefits our school and the community. There's one thing that we're going to get pretty aggressive on. It's not, I'm letting you guys know now, it's not going to be, it's not going to be real popular with our satellite teachers. And that's with extended days. Here at Buckeye Hills, we give extended days on the front end of a teacher's contract. And we spread that out over a 26 pay period cycle. That means people are getting paid for something they haven't done yet. And I'm not comfortable with that. And I've never been comfortable with that since I've been here. I've talked to the union about it. They agree. They actually agree with management on this, which caught me off guard. They agree that we have to change that. It's an old dinosaur. So what we did, we did an MOU, I don't know, several months ago. Like, I'll give you an example. I have a staff member that teaches STNA. Well, she has to do clinicals. Her day turns in from a 7-hour day to a 10-hour day. And she doesn't get those other 3 hours. Are you guys with me? I have satellite teachers that get up to 51 extended days a year at their daily rate, which is crazy. They have to do an extended day equals 7 hours. So I got one member that doesn't get compensated for anything, and I got another member that's probably getting overcompensated. Now, I want to be very clear about this because this is important. I have no plans to most of our extended day employees are our ag teachers. Okay, we're going to protect FFA. We're going to protect the ag community. I'm a true believer in it. I was raised by that system. I understand that system. However, that's an old dinosaur system. So what we need to do in the contract is create what's called additional hours. Basically, the way that would work, and Len, I'm going to use you guys for an example down there at Gallia Academy. say, for instance, one of your ag teacher has to do an FFA event on a Saturday. They'll put in for that event, and they'll say, I'm going to work from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock on Saturday. Their supervisor will approve that. Superintendent, myself, will approve that. They'll work that Saturday. They'll come in on Monday, and they'll turn in their timesheet for that additional time. Does that make sense? Overnight events are in our contract language now, so we're going to leave that alone. These will be for basically above and beyond the normal work day, if that makes sense. Right, and those things are all a little different. The other thing I'm doing, man, is we're leaving a lot of money in Columbus right now for ag. Ag has their own line item. It's called the fifth quarter grant. Every ag teacher can get access to that, except the ones who get extended days. They're exempt. So we're losing about $5,000 to $6,000 per teacher. And if we do away with the extended days, I can now apply the ag fifth quarter grant and get those dollars. Those dollars are for the fair. It's to cover the week of the fair and some of the events leading up to the fair. Does that kind of make sense? So we're going to put all this into the contract. Will I have some satellite teachers upset? Yeah, I will. I'll have some satellite teachers upset. The union leadership actually is promoting this probably more than what management is, which is kind of weird. But I also understand why, because they have a main campus staff member. There's multiple main campus staff members. They don't get anything for that additional time. How's that fair? So when you look at it from a collective bargaining standpoint, from a union leadership standpoint, they're there to represent the entire union body, not one individual or one group of individuals. That makes sense. Also, the other thing is this. I've got one ag teacher that gets 51 days. I got another one getting 20 days. What is how many days?
We have one that gets 51,
some that get 10. Yeah. So you can see we're all over the board. And for me, I'm looking at it going, and that's not fair to these folks. And some of them are in the same school, sitting beside each other, which is not good. So now a lot of people are like, well, Mr. Nash, you know, if I'm that teacher that got those 40 days or 50 days, you know, what's that going to look like for me? Well, what we're going to be able to do by our budget of a school district, we can plan out how many additional days that we know we can slot and afford for the school year. We can actually plan out a budget. Does that make sense? If the state comes in and says, hey, we're cutting you 10%, then we may need to make some adjustments across the board. And we can make good, rational decisions through the superintendent of the board on making those decisions. Does that kind of make sense? That's one of the areas that I think will get probably the most attention. Yeah. That's bingo. There will be. Yeah. What we're doing is Ellen McCabe's the dean over all of our satellite programs. She'll be given a budget by program, by teacher, to not exceed. So they can plan out their events, the yearly events. Trust me, they know their yearly events. They can plan out. They can still make adjustments if something happens. But I want you to think about right now where we're at. We haven't been in school since March 16th. I've got people right now that are being paid. All right, they're working from home. They're working electronically. They're working on packets. They're working with their kids through emails. But I've got people, teachers are getting paid extended time. Those events have been canceled. They're not there. That's not good. So I called legal about this. I've actually set in workshop after workshop after workshop on this. Of course, what they'll tell you is look at your contract language. Well, of course, no one put in their contract language if there's a pandemic. You're not going to get paid your extended days. They've also said, you know, if you would take their extended days, the likelihood of them filing a grievance and taking it to arbitration, they're probably going to win. And then you look at the costs associated with fighting that. I will tell you this, our union leadership here, they actually brought it to me about taking them 100%, 100%. Keep in mind, our folks have been getting paid their extended time since last August. So think about that for a minute. That's going to come off their paycheck all of a sudden. So I was curious about what you guys thought. I'm not making a recommendation to you guys tonight. I wanted to get you guys' input. Do you think it's kind of like your supplemental contracts with like a baseball coach or a track coach? Exactly.
We just went
through
that.
That's been real fun.
But they started getting
hands
last year for baseball.
Yeah. So I want to get your guys' input. Do you think we take it away 100%? Do you think maybe we look at a 50%? Maybe we take it away a third? What would be fair in this circumstance? Through March 16th. Or through now. Yep. Anything they work, yeah. That's what we talked about doing. What I have, guys, is I have a report on each and any events they still had left from March 16th through the end of June. That's exactly right. They're still doing some work behind the scenes. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes, Linda. You're exactly right.
But you had said if they were going to work, it will pay to be
done. Yeah, this is what I told Stephanie I thought would be a good idea. We can look at their days and say, all right, if you're going to work those days, we're going to go ahead and honor the contract. If you're not going to work those days, then we're going to do a deduct. Do we do the deduct at 100%, 50%, a third? That's what I'm asking you guys for input. I'm just curious about how you are handling those situations in your schools, just so I can kind of get a little bit of an idea of what you guys did out there. So I'm just curious if you guys have crossed those boundaries yet.
That's crazy. I live in five if I work five. Been like that my whole life. That's what I do, my guys. We had a big old blow up about our spring sports. And yesterday that they were evaluation that they had 95% of the time. One game, like one pitch play, $42 in a game, and 27 games. We did 95%. We gave them 50%, and then we gave the other 50% to the program. Well, the kids lost 100%. That's no doubt.
That's exactly right. 100%. That's exactly right. I like that.
So we gave them.
I like that a lot.
We know that they did 25. They did some things. They had getting in barns and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
They did that. But they did a 95. And
they kept the numbers. Five.
And we have a tennis coach.
Maybe they were given 200%.
Yeah. If you do the whole year, you should have 100%. Exactly. But we did 50, showing that we didn't want to save the money. And the kids lost everything. They never got a chance to win the title. They never got a chance to get a letter. They never got a chance to win more games, get home runs, all that kind of stuff. They lost everything.
Absolutely.
So there's no way I could have gave them 100%. We prorated it. We passed it at 50 and 50 back to the program. But we also think it's going to raise money next year. Could be tough to raise.
We put it back into that athletic fund then.
It goes back to the baseball, the softball,
right.
every individual spring sport, tennis.
Right.
Everybody got it.
That's nice.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool there. I like that.
Yeah, I am definitely not for someone getting paid to them. I roof your house, I do the back part. You give me full mount. Look,
no.
I got to roof the front part too.
When I work back part, here's my timeshare. I work these extended days without paying me. That's what we did. Here, when I got here, they were divided over 26 days, and you're paying them before they've even done it. And I'm like,
Yeah, that when I got here, I was like, "We that that's getting changed." Yes.
Exactly. That's what we said. What if they go out on disability? What if they resign? I mean, you have to take that.
I like the power idea. Yeah, I do. I'm just so and I don't like, I know personally,
yeah.
The problem now for next fall, I know some of the extended day stuff that's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
But even when it's not a pandemic year, you have people with extended service days who do not do those things.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, you're right.
That's exactly right. And Lynn, for me, the extended days, elimination of the extended days and getting the additional hours, that gives us some type of a system in place that does the approvals. There really is a check and balance system on that. It really is. Without the audience. Yeah, they're talking about not even letting people there, just the kids and their projects. Absolutely. Yeah, that's true too. You know, and Lynn, it may just come down to this because they have to turn in a form when they work the extended day. If you don't turn in the form, you don't get paid. We're going to do a deduct on it. I think that may be the easiest way to take care of this. And just say, look, now listen to me. Yeah, if you fill out that form that you worked it and you didn't work it, then we're going to be having a different conversation.
It'll be a lot.
Exactly, Brian. We won't be talking about one extended day being taken off your pay. That's exactly right. Yeah, when I got here, I was looking at that setup and I was just scratching my head thinking, how do you pay somebody for something they haven't done yet?
Yeah. It's never a good thing.
No.
I mean, it really is never.
It's no. Good for you. Absolutely.
It's not good for someone to get paid for nothing. It's not like it is, but it's really not.
Like you said, it'll probably be very unpopular.
It's going to change. You know, change.
You're looking at 51 extended days. You're looking at going to get $20,000 on extended days. You know, when you divide that by 26, that raises your commitment. Now we're saying you're going to get it, but you're not going to get it every 26K.
You're going to get it when you work it. You're going to get it. It's just, it's like. But Lynn, I mean. I got people.
And they did a parent meeting.
Yeah.
You did not meet your parents.
I'm like, I'm sorry, man, but you didn't have a meeting with a parent for 7 hours.
There's no way.
I mean, I'm not going to. Since we're not in executive session, I have a teacher here that was getting us 10 days to do a particular job. We hired a full-time person to do that job. And this, I didn't even realize this. He came into my office and he was like, well, Mr. Nash, we were working on another project. I'm like, well, I can give you an extended day to come in and take care of your program. He's like, well, I'm giving 10 days already. For what? And he told me he's given the 10 days for. And I looked at him and he's like, uh-oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm like, dude, you're not getting 10 days next year because I hired somebody to do that job. That's their full-time job. So what I'm finding out is there was some people grandfathered on some old systems that were given those days. And I'm like, no, we're not doing that. I had one superintendent call me today about a program they're putting in on extended days. I'm like, no, you don't do any extended days. You need to do fifth quarter dollars, and you need to look at doing additional dollars just to get away from that extended day stuff. That'll lock you in for life. So I wanted you guys to be aware of what we're working this behind the scenes on with that. That is something that's not going to be popular. And Lynn, I know it's not going to be. And once again, guys, I'm going on record and saying this to you guys. I'm not attacking FFA. I'm not attacking our teachers in FFA. We just got to do business different. I mean, that's the bottom line because. Yes. That we sure can. And any of you guys that have ag teachers, if you want to do that, we can do that together. Keep in mind, our leadership here, our union leadership here, supports this 100% because it's very unfair to their membership. So I get it from their standpoint. The other thing is we're working on is I'm trying to get additional time. We're on a seven-hour day. A seven-hour day at a career center does not cut it. So we're trying to go 1 hour and 15-minute day. I'm not paying them minutes by their daily rate. So we're doing some perks on that side of the house. And they, so far, it looks like pretty popular through the union leadership. Now, when it goes to vote, it may not be popular at all. We'll find out. But all we're asking for is a 7 hour and 15-minute day. Most of your schools around here are probably on a 7.5 or a 7.45 or a 7.15. Think about that from my perspective. We have staggered buses coming in here over 45 minutes, and we have the least amount of time on the clock. Are you kidding me? So I had to do this up north a couple times. It's not popular at first, but they're going to realize that we have now have time to do things. We can have teacher in services. We can have collaboration time. So we have those abilities to do some of the mandates that we need to do anyway. Right now, if you're a teacher here at the main campus, you get out of your vehicle, you go to your shop, you teach. You eat lunch, you teach again, you leave. There is no collaboration time built into this work schedule, which kills me because that means my deans don't have an opportunity to communicate to their people the way they do efficiently and effectively. So that's the other big component we're looking at. I have to give a little bit, but I think what we're going to give is going to really help us across the board. And then the last piece I wanted to share with you guys on negotiations is that we're looking to up our sick leave bonus dollars. I've done this before. If we use the strategy correctly, we do it by quarter. Our cost associated for subs is about $100,000. If I can get my folks not using sick leave, the money that we're going to put in the incentive for a sick leave bonus will in turn pay for what we're losing from subs. But more importantly, why I want to do this has to do with, and you guys all know this, if I have a teacher in a classroom, I've got a whole lot of learning going on and teaching going on. If I got a sub in the classroom, I don't have nothing going on. I know there's some good ones out there, but overall, I'm looking at an overall picture here. I lose a whole day of instruction, if that makes sense. I want to try to put something in place to bring that down and flatten, I sound like Dr. Amy Acton, I want to flatten that curve to where we're not spending all that money on subs. And then also I'm losing a lot of instruction. And in the career tech world, losing a day of instruction in a welding lab is a lot. In an STNA lab is a lot. So I want to try to bring that down. Our bonus dollars we're looking at, what would we set that in? Preliminary about $300 a quarter that they could get if they don't use any sick leave. Nice little perk. But keep in mind, we don't have a lot of monetary value right now going into the negotiations. I'm trying to help them out. We're going to let them step. We're going to give them a 2% cost of living. And then we're looking at some bonus dollars for some incentive packages across the board is kind of what we're looking at. I feel pretty happy with where we're at right now. We still have to negotiate tomorrow, and then we'll probably have to finish it up next week with the language. Once we get it all in draft format, I'll get it out to you guys in emails so you guys can start looking at it. I won't send it to you until they vote. There's no need to do that because we may have to clean a few things up. So, like I said, I'm hoping that we can take it to you in June and we can go ahead and get it. That'll make Stephanie happy too. So she'll go back and no retro stuff. So, guys, that's all I have tonight. Does anybody have anything for us? We changed a lot of stuff over the last year and a half. So we had all of our application processes all started. So the pandemic didn't interfere with that. The only thing the pandemic interfered with kids for next year is we were having them come in for what we call student orientation, and that had to get canceled. Now, I will tell you this, if I can find a way using the COVID-19 rules, and I can bring them in over a span this summer before school starts, we may do it by a program or by academy. I will probably put some things in place if we can do it safely, if that makes sense, Lynn.
Going
to graduate from here, but don't. How's that going to affect my hours and certificates or like certificates? Lisa's certificate. So, great questions. The hour requirement's gone. That left probably about 8 or 9 years ago, 7, 8 years ago. So now they're by courses. So the courses are all good. So our kids are fine. Basically, if they completed their packets, turned them in, our rule was real simple. See, we had our last 9 weeks was March the 13th. So our teachers had to have that first 9 weeks into the semester. So we only had one more 9 week period left. So the packets they did, whatever their grade was on March the 13th, teachers had to have a grade on March 16th. If they turned their packets in, they went up one letter grade in that course. We basically held our kids harmless from going the other direction because of the situation. We knew we had kids that didn't have access to teachers 100%. We knew we had kids that didn't have access to online systems. So we didn't want to hold them accountable for them not having control of that situation. Does that make sense? So whatever the grade was, so say for instance, I was a kid and I had a C. I didn't turn my packets in. I got a C for that course. If I turn my packets in, I got a B. And that was something we worked with ODE very closely on as well. We actually issued lettered grades. Instead of pass-fail, we did not do pass-fail. We issued lettered grades. We had to do that for a lot of different reasons. Keep in mind that we have high-stakes tests called WebZams. That's also attached to teachers' evaluations, but it's also attached to what Lynn's talking about, that course certification. So that's why we use the letter grade systems. That makes sense. The problem we have is where we had a kid that was in the middle of obtaining a that's nationally or state level. So what we're doing right now is we're putting a plan together with those kids. We're going to bring them through our adult system over the summer free of charge to be able to finalize those credentials. Does that make sense? And we don't, believe it or not, most of our senior class was done with all their credentials except a few. Because keep in mind, our goal was to shift. We wanted all of our seniors done by Christmas time so they could go to job placement. So a lot of those credentials were already obtained. But we do have some out there in isolation that we have to do that with. We have a Firefighter 1 course at Wellston. We run that through adult ed. I think there's a handful of the high school kids at Wellston. They're actually in that program right now at the academy. We're finishing them. And then we have a group of kids from county that are in STNA. We're doing those kids through adult ed right now as well. So we're allowed, it's weird. Closed. Post-secondary adult ed centers are not closed. We're allowed, as long as we have our plan in place and our guidelines in place, I can open it up to finish those things out. And that's what we're planning on doing over the summer. I tell people, when the governor started saying, this is what I want, I thought, oh, time out. I can't teach a kid how to weld from the house. Don't do that, buddy. I can't teach them how to build a house. Are you kidding me? So, you know, we have a small team we got together right now. We're going to build a plan. I call it the what-if plan. What if COVID-19 is still here in August? What is that going to look like for the career center? We're going to get that developed. I will tell you this, there's career centers that have things in place prior to COVID-19 that we may adopt and utilize here. We're just not 100% for sure yet what that looks like. I was telling our admin team today, I said, you know, everybody's looking at August and September. Man, I'm just looking at May right now. You know, I'm taking this thing day by day, week by week, and I'm not ready for this school to start planning in what September looks like. We need to figure out first, I got kids that graduate yet. We still got kids to complete yet. I want to focus on them first, get that out of the way, then we'll put our together going into August and September. And that's going to have an impact on you guys and your on your schools. And when we come up with these alternative schedules, we're looking at different bus schedules. We can look at extended time. The school day may look different. It may not be a 7-hour day. It may be a 10-hour day. I mean, we don't know what that's going to look like. That's why I don't want to play the – that's why I call it the what if. There's a lot can happen from now until August with this pandemic. I mean, we all know that. It's changing every day. It changes every hour. It changed when we walked in here. So it's just kind of where it's at right now. Anything from your guys' perspective that you guys want to discuss any more in detail?
Just next Thursday at the certificate ceremony. Will this parking lot out here be open so that we can park and be out?
The way it's going to work, Beth, is everybody's going to have assigned parking lots. There's going to be people strategically placed that are going to direct people where to park. The students are going to go to the parking lot to adult ed. The board members are going to go to the parking lot right here in the middle. There will be nobody there but board members. And then you guys will walk right straight to your tent. And then our staff park in the back parking lot behind adult ed. We're going to use this parking lot right here behind the cafeteria as an overflow because we may have, I mean, I may have 180 kids show up. It's a possibility. Our goal is to try to get these kids going, you know, up across that stage about every 30 seconds. That's going to be our goal. We'll see what happens. We may be here until 9 o'clock, but I was telling my staff the other day, I had a couple of teachers. They're like, we're going to be there longer than an hour. I'm like, dude, you've been home since March the 16th. I think you can be there for all night long if it takes. We're going to do, if we got to be here until dark, we'll be here until dark. If that's what the kids deserve. That's just kind of, that's my stance on it. So, I mean, it's what they deserve.
How many are there, Jamie, altogether?
We're probably, we changed some things up this year. You guys remember in the past where you had to get your certificate? I included any kid that got their certificate, they got an industry credential, or who graduated high school. So we're going to have probably about 200 kids. Now, will they show up? I don't know that. But that's who we're going to invite, Pat. And, guys, I apologize to you guys because I know you guys like getting on that stage with the Jackson kids, with the Wilson kids, and so on and so on. We're not going to be able to do that. They're going to pull in and get in line. So if you're up on that stage, you may be shaking a kid from Gallia County. You may be shaking a kid from Vinton County. No, I'm sorry. You won't be shaking. That's right. Sorry about that. You may have a photo with a kid from Jackson or Gallia. Yeah, sorry about that. You see where I'm at? Yeah, the old nod. That's right. Congratulations. But you guys will have your own tents. If you want, I will ask you this. Is anybody not going to come? I guess that's what I kind of need to know. Okay, so Lynn, you won't be able to be here. Mr. Thacker, are you planning on coming?
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Okay, how about you, Pat?
Yes, I'll be there.
How about you, Mike?
Yes, I'll be there.
And guys, this is what I've told my staff. If you have symptoms or been exposed to anybody or if you're at risk, you know, don't come to the event. It's just what we got to do. That's the new norm now. No one's going to take offense to that. It's just what we got to do. We got to protect each other. I mean, I went to my great uncle's funeral today. They don't let you have a funeral inside of a funeral parlor. Am I saying that right? Funeral home. So I went to the grave site, and you know, it was just a little different. I think that's going to be kind of the new norm now. Just a bunch of people inside of a building together. So, but you know, it's a different time right now, and you know, I think it's just about being respectful. Everybody going for marriage. Mr. Thacker, that's all I got, my friend.
Okay, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mr. Corbett?
Yes.
Mr.
Brandish?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, what do
you have on? Mr. Thacker. Yes. Yeah, Mr. Thacker, we just got to meet with you real quick on this.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
I thought you guys were watching Survivor.